This is the Thundering Herd Hoops podcast covering NDSU Bison men's and women's basketball, featuring interviews with your favorite players. Welcome in to another episode of the Thundering Herd Hoops podcast. I am your host of the podcast, Brandon Geoffrey. You can find the podcast on Twitter at TH Hoops Podcast, myself on Twitter at BGeff08. Always happy to interact with fans on there and answer any questions or take topics for discussion with the players when we do interview them. So conference play has started. So we'll discuss the first week and a half here of conference play for both the men's and women's teams. Have a couple of great interviews. We got Grant Nelson and L. Evans, a couple of star players for each team on this week that we'll get to here in a bit. And then take a look at the preview of the week upcoming here, where the men finally get to play at home against the South Dakota schools, and the Bison women will head to Frost and to Vermilion to take on SDSU and USD. So we'll start with things on the men's side. The men opened a week and a half ago on Thursday night against Western Illinois. Always a tough place to play. Never much of a crowd, not a lot of energy, kind of a small gym. It was more of, I'd like to say it was more of the same, but Grant Nelson was absolutely unstoppable in that game. He put up a stat line of 35 and 16, played extremely well. Western did not try to really double him. They let him go one-on-one the whole first half, and he absolutely just put in work and took whoever was guarding him to the hole over and over again. In the second half, did go to some zone here and there, but it was more of the same. The problem was nobody else from NDSU could really get it going. Bowden Scudberg got in the double digits with 10, but only three other players got in the scoring column. Javis Miller got with 7 points. Damari Wheeler-Thomas hit 1-3. He had 3 points. And Andrew Morgan had 5, but that was it for the scoring for NDSU. NDSU shot 1 for 17 from 3, only shot 61% from the free throw line. And despite a decent first half, a strong first half by the men's team, they just couldn't keep it going in the second half. They had one of their, didn't really hit a long scoring drought, but had a little bit where they went without a bucket again. And then Western started shooting the lights out. Masner scored 24 points on 9 of 19 shooting. He's always a tough matchup, and went 4 for 10 from 3. Alex Rosner absolutely played a terrific game for them. Went 5 for 8 from downtown. It seemed like every time they needed a bucket, he hit a big one. So he had 19 points. West hit some tough shots inside, had 14 and 7, and made some free throws down the stretch. They went 13 for 18 from the free throw line, 10 for 22 from 3, so shot 45% from beyond the arc, which is really kind of what sank NDSU in this one. So the great news was Grant played his best game of the season, one of the best games of his career. Bad news was it still wasn't enough. The rest of the team couldn't get it going to help them out, and defensively just couldn't get the stops that they needed down the stretch. Even though they did get the score close down the stretch, just could not get over the hump to get that game. They then traveled up to St. Thomas, a game that was moved up to a 1 o'clock or noon start time, due to weather and needing to get home afterwards. So kind of a weird switch of events there, a little less of a crowd than you'd typically get in St. Thomas at Schoenecker Arena, where it was a pretty hostile environment last year when NDSU went down there. But a great game nonetheless. This one, NDSU played tough throughout. They got out to a quick start, got up 10-2 on the Tommies. Tommies survived it, came back. Great first half of basketball, a lot of back and forth. St. Thomas had a 4-point lead at halftime. And then from the kind of the 3 minute or so mark of the first half until, you know, about the 17 minute mark of the second half, NDSU didn't score a point, and the Tommies kind of got out ahead and just kind of stayed ahead. NDSU could not get the stops on defense. He was just a bit of a struggle on that end of the floor. Parker Bjorklund, Kendall Blue, somebody different all the time. Riley Miller really didn't have that big of a game. 1 for 6 from three. The only thing he really contributed was hitting free throws down the stretch. 6 for 6 from the free throw line, ended up with 13 points. But Kendall Blue went 3 for 3 from the free throw line, 2 for 4 from three. Brooks Allen, Parker Bjorklund really did some work down low, and NDSU didn't really seem to have an answer for him. Andrew Morgan didn't play a ton of minutes at 21, did have 11 points in that time. Grant Nelson had 15 and 9 in that game, 2 blocks, 2 steals, 2 assists as well. Another good game by him. Joshua Streit he only played 5 minutes. He was really getting worked by Parker Bjorklund when he was in there. So Hostreiter got more minutes in the second half than he usually does. Grant Nelson played some of the five then when Hostreiter came in, helped slow down Bjorklund a little bit, but then Blue and Allen stepped up. And so the Tommies ended up rolling to a 78-68 win over NDSU. Again, on the road, it was a tough game. Good news was, you know, more players contributed for NDSU other than Grant Nelson after the Western game. Bad news was still only shot 50% from the free throw line, 8 for 16. And really it was defensively. They just couldn't get the stops when they needed them. They did climb back into it. They were down by as many as 17 in the second half, got it all the way down by to 5. Bowen Scunberg made a jumper, turned to the crowd, was jawed a little bit and got teed up. And from there, NDSU just couldn't close the gap back after the Tommies made both free throws and got another bucket on that possession. So kind of a 4-point swing from there to close the game. So a tough break there for NDSU, starting the conference season 0-2 on the road. Then it was Christmas break. Team got a couple days off. I think it was a nice reset for the team, is to get out of the gym, get off the road a little bit. You know, see some family, friends. Got back together, practice early in the week. Just had one game last week in week two as they play their travel partner, UND. Again, had to hit the road. Nice crowd, you know, up at the Betty. It was pretty full from the way it looked. And NDSU came out, looked refreshed, looked healthy. I know Tajavis Miller still seems to be nursing an injury a little bit. But the rest of the team looked back and looked at full strength. UND got the first 2 points, but Jakari White hit a three to give him the lead 3-2, and NDSU never looked back, cruised to a 71-49 victory. Andrew Morgan, Grant Nelson both played very well. Grant had 18 and 8. Andrew Morgan 15 and 8. Also, you know, Andrew Morgan had 3 blocks. It was nice to see him get something going on the defensive end. Bowden Scunberg had a really nice game, a really efficient game, 14 points, 5 and 9 shooting, 4 for 6 from beyond the arc. So it was a really nice team win, upped a little bit on the free throws, 69% in this game, 9 for 13, shot 47.6% from the 3-point line, 10 for 21, which is huge for this team. A lot of teams are going to be doubling Andrew and Grant Nelson. There's going to be open shooters, guys have got to knock down shots. I discussed that a little bit last week on the last podcast episode. So nice to see some of those shots getting knocked down. The other thing that really stood out to me in this one was Grant and Andrew both played really well passing interior from big to big in this one. So you know, a lot of times so far this season when the doubles come, they've looked to kick it back out. This time, you know, there was some cutting to the basket. You know, there was a little bit of high low with Grant and Andrew Morgan. So when the double team would come, instead of just looking to kick it out, they looked for each other a little bit more. I think if they can work that interior passing game a little bit more and keep the high percentage shots coming inside versus kicking it out for threes, That'll be something really to watch going forward to see if they can continue to do. So a really nice win, 71-49 over UND. Always good to beat UND. UND may very well finish last in the conference this year. They looked like a mess on offense in this game. Defensively, they got some effort. They are, 6-9 on the season after this one. They've got some wins, but really outside of Omot, they just didn't have anybody that really played exceptionally well in this one. And even he really struggled, shot 2-for-10 from the field. So be interesting to see what happens to UND from here. But great win for NDSU. Got one of the first three, and now they get to come home and play. Bad news being that they have to come home and play SDSU and USD, who had some good opening weeks as well. So we'll take a look at those previews in a bit. Right now we're going to get to the interview with Grant Nelson. He was kind enough to take some time out of his day. So we'll jump into that interview and then come back and preview the games against SDSU and USD. Now joined by the 6'11 junior forward out of Devils Lake, North Dakota, the alien unicorn himself, Mr. Grant Nelson. Grant, thanks for taking some time to join me on the podcast and welcome to the show. Firstly, we got to talk a little bit about the nicknames. There's a million of them out there. Alien Unicorn obviously is a big Twitter one. I know Ross is big on that one. Yep. Slim Reaper, Big Slim. We had a Grantula sign down at Sioux Falls last year. So two-part question on it. One, any of them, any additional ones that you've had throughout either middle school, high school, that teammates, coaches, family, friends have given me that we're not aware of? And then B, any of those that are your favorite that you really enjoy, or is it all just kind of noise on the side while you're out there playing?
I mean, there's definitely a few more, like anything that has to do with like being tall, I guess, or whatever. But I don't really have a favorite. I mean, I like them all. I don't mind them all.
That's awesome. Yeah. Turns out when you're 6'11 in North Dakota, that there aren't too many of you, so you'll get all the tall nicknames, that's for sure. Second thing I got to ask about, I've actually had listeners tell me I have to ask you when I got around to interview you, is the mustache. We got towards the end of last year into this year, got it growing out. What's the inspiration besides to go with the mustache look?
I mean, just finally now I could grow one. Inspired by anyone, it was just like mainly I could grow one, so
and didn't want to take the time to shave it, and we're just letting it buck for now.
Yeah.
Nice. We gotta talk a little about the fam. I'm not sure how much of Bison Nation knows, but you're actually one of nine, I believe, in your family. Where are you at for one, where are you at on the oldest to youngest scale? I think you're towards the older end, but where are you at on that?
I'm actually towards the younger. There's two younger than me.
Okay. So you grew up with all the older siblings. So just my dad's one of 11. I got some uncles that have 8, 9, 10, 11 kids. I know how the big families roll. So just talk a little bit about growing up in that household. Where every meal, some people don't even have holiday meals that have, 11 people at them. So just what was that like for you growing up, having that big of a family around all the time?
I mean, there's always something going on, which was nice. And for like basketball wise, me and my brothers were super competitive. So I think that's a big reason why like I am where I'm at today. So I think like just that, like for basketball, has helped me a lot.
Especially when you got to bring your skills up as one of the younger ones, getting beat up on by the older brothers all the time. With nine siblings, obviously there's probably some varying interests. Was there anything that any of your older siblings got you interested in that you may not have otherwise been interested in just because they're running around doing it and you kind of looked up to them?
I mean, pretty much everything my older brother did, I like tried to do, or like an older sibling. And then for basketball, I wasn't like fully bought into it when I was a kid, but then my brothers were pretty good at it. So I decided like, Like one of my brothers went to college at Lake Region, and I kind of looked up that. I like when I was in like 8th grade, I kind of decided that's what I wanted to do.
Nice. Well, yeah, we'll talk a little bit about that journey. So, 8th, 9th grade, you're 6'6", just another guy on the team. Sophomore year, jumped to about 6'6", junior year, 6'8", senior, 6'10". I went through a growth spurt from like 5'7" to 6'1" my freshman year. I hurt everywhere. Did you have any of that big time growing pains that you had to struggle through, or what was that first couple of years where you packed the inches on, like, for
Yeah.
you?
I mean, surprisingly, the pain didn't really come until like after all the growing was done. And it was mainly just knee pain. And like I still kind of struggle with that like a little bit just because of my legs are so long. But I think the biggest thing was just like uncoordination. Like I just, yeah. So like 8th grade through like sophomore year, I was pretty lengthy and uncoordinated.
Yeah, that'll happen. So you get to 6'10", 6'11", that you are now. What was the hardest part from that transition, other than just the coordination as far as basketball skills wise, that was an adjustment for you? Is there, I mean, positional wise or shooting, or what kind of was the biggest adjustment that you had to go through there?
Probably I was expected to like be a post my whole life, it seemed like. And like, I mean, I didn't really want to play that. I thought I was better from the perimeter, or I could make more of an impact. So I mean, probably just like trying to prove to coaches that I could play on the perimeter.
Yeah, which is a lot tougher to convince them to do when you get to be 6'10".
Yeah.
So you graduate high school, come to NDSU, you join a veteran group, but it's the lovely COVID season, your freshman year, where everything's a little wild, as far as scheduling and empty places to play and all that. So, what was that experience like coming in? Just having the most unusual season you could probably imagine as far as that college experience went.
I mean, it was definitely different than like what I've heard, but I never really experienced like what college was like at that point, so it felt normal to me. But I mean, it was just different because there wasn't like much contact with like my friends or anyone else, and the campus was pretty empty. So I mean, I guess I didn't really know like what it would be like until my sophomore year when it started to get more normal. But I mean, it was definitely different.
So that freshman year, you guys make it to the Summit League Championship game, drop the tough one to ORU, but in the Pentagon, where there's hardly any fans there. Last year, you make it back to the Summit League Championship full on. When SDSU plays in it, it's electric and loud in there. Just can you contrast that and what that atmosphere was like for you guys last year in that game and your first time playing in it?
Yeah, last year was definitely different. It felt like a home game for SDSU with the amount of fans they had there. So I mean, we did what like we tried to do what we could do, but it obviously didn't work out for us. But I mean, we plan to make it back this year and win it all.
Absolutely. That's what we're all hoping. So coming into this season, probably the biggest transition, obviously, you lose three seniors that have been here. You're now basically the guy taking over, kind of that lead role. Was there any big change for you, mentally, going into this off season, just knowing that you're going to come back next year and teams are going to switch their focus to you, as they prepare for you guys going forward?
Yeah, I've definitely realized after the first like half of the season or whatever we've been through that like every mistake is kind of like it's kind of like put on us captains like me, Bo, and Dez. So I mean it's definitely different. I didn't realize how hard our captains worked last season, and like how much they're just in the spotlight for everything that goes on with the team, winning or losing.
Yeah, for sure. Was there anything specific that you finished out last year? I know you guys have exit interviews and any that kind of thing, that you went to work on, to really try to be your best self this year? Any particular area of your game that you really focused on?
I mean, I feel like it was becoming more a complete player, and like my body development, putting on weight, like in the weight room with Coach Miller. So over the summer, I did a lot of that, a lot of eating.
Which is harder than it can be
Yeah,
sometimes
it
than you
is.
realize.
Yeah.
So coming in this year, you mentioned a little bit of a roller coaster of the year to start. One big reason, I know Coach will yell at me if I try to use the word excuse, but big reason, I mean, you guys have struggled with injury a little bit coming out of the gate. I know, Damari missed almost the entire offseason. Javis missed a bunch of preseason camp. We get going, you roll an ankle. You get back, Bowden misses a game with a hand. Javis rolls an ankle again. So is it been even more difficult for you guys with a bunch of new players than you were even thinking it would be, just with guys in and out of the lineup and different rotations going in and out of practice and games each week?
Oh yeah, I mean it's definitely not what we want, but it happens. It's basketball, and we're a really young group, but I feel like we got so much potential moving forward. I could already see after that UND game how much we've grown, like in the past week since that St. Thomas game. And I mean, I feel like we just got to keep moving forward and not be on a roller coaster as much as we have been, and just steadily increase and get better.
Yeah, absolutely. Conference play started. You guys had long road trip in out of conference. Come home, get those two games. But then you go back conference play right on the road again. But then we get the Christmas break. You get a little bit of time off. Was that a nice chance just for everybody to get healthy and reset? And do you feel like that played a little bit into what you guys were able to go up to UND and do?
Oh, yeah, I mean, somewhat. I know my freshman year, it was tough on me not being home much. And when I went home for that break, it meant everything to my family and everything to me. So, I mean, I feel like that has a lot to do with those freshmen and like their development, just being able to see their families. But other than that, I mean, we came back with a different mindset because we were just sick of losing. And I mean, I hope that carries on and we continue to win moving forward.
Yeah, I watched every game. I would say most complete 40 minutes that you guys have put together so far this year. So we'll look for more of that. I think one thing that was really noticeable to me watching was you and Morgs really working the post well together. I know both of you guys kind of been in and out here and there for different things. So was that something you guys have focused on a little bit more offensively, knowing that double teams are coming your guys' way, that you can get that interior passing game going a little bit?
Yeah, we've definitely been hitting on that a lot more after the preseason games because we realized that if we hit the post, they're either going to not guard us with two people and we'll have a pretty high percentage shot at the rim. And if they do double, then there'll be someone wide open. So, I mean, we've been working on that a lot at practice, just sending doubles at me, Morgs, and Strite, or whoever's playing in the post. And I mean, I feel like we've grown a lot. And we've learned that if the double's there, there's someone open. We just got to kick it out.
All right. We're running low on time here. So we'll swing to usually do a little quick fire questions here at the end. And then we'll let you get out of here. So number one I have for you, favorite basketball memory so far that you've had to this point in your career?
It's a tough one. I'd say playing last year in the championship game, just like the feeling before.
That was a
When you
fun one. We always have a blast over down there for the if it's SDSU or USD, because it's the 500 or so of us there against the world. It can be pretty fun. What's your favorite non-basketball activity? I know obviously growing up you probably had quite a few, but what do you still like to do outside of basketball when you have the time now?
There's not much I do. When I'm home, I like to fish. I know Devil's Lake is really known for fishing. Like, I used to do that a lot, not as much anymore. But other than that, just go to the lake, hang out with friends, rest.
Rest is probably key. What's your favorite professional sports team? Where do you who do you follow on the pro scene?
For basketball, I like the Suns. I like Devin Booker. And then for like football, I like the Vikings.
Tough day yesterday. We won't talk about that one. Favorite music genre?
That's a tough one. I listen to every type of music. So I'd probably say what I listen to most gotta be, it's changed a lot over the years. R&B, and then I've recently started listening to a lot more country just this last year. I don't know why.
It happens when you get older. That's just it's just what it's just the way it goes. Favorite movie of all time?
Tough one. That new Spider-Man that just came out.
Was a good one. And then last one, favorite TV series, anything you've binged lately or did previously that
I like The Office a lot. It's my favorite show.
quality choice. Quality choice. All right, I'll let you get out of here. Thanks again, Grant, for taking some time to join us at home. Gotta get Bison Nation out there. We got the South Dakota schools this week, so a couple big rivalry games Thursday and Saturday out at the Shack. So, best of luck to you guys in those games and the rest of the way, and we'll see you down the road.
Yeah, I appreciate it. Thank you.
Thank you. All right, and that was our interview with Grant Nelson. Again, thank him for his time. As mentioned, the men this week will be hosting the South Dakota school, South Dakota State, on Thursday at 7 and USD Saturday at 1. Little preview on those two teams. SDSU has had quite the up and down out-of-conference season. They played some good teams. Tough. They got blown out by Montana. So they're out of conference. It was kind of all over the place. They are currently sitting at 7-8. They opened conference play at Oral Roberts and got ran out of the building, only scoring 40 points. They lost 79-40 on the road. Their game against Kansas City last first Saturday or first Wednesday, excuse me. Conference opened Monday, Wednesday. Was postponed due to the storm that came through. And then last week they played the teams that NDSU opened with Western Illinois and St. Thomas, but they got them at home. Exact same score in both games, 71-64. They won them both. SDSU is gonna be a tough team in the conference again, even without a couple of their players right now. Luke Apple's been out for a while. Not sure if he's going to make it back this season yet. And I believe Arians, I believe, is out as well. He may be back as soon as this game, though. So without them, it's been the Zeke Mayo and Matt Dettlinger show. Mayo went for 33 against Western, and Dettlinger went for 22. Against St. Thomas, really worked it inside, and Mayo also had a solid game. So Mayo is the guy for SDSU. He's the one who's making things go over there right now. My assumption will be Bowden Scumberg's job to slow him down in this one. Thankfully, NDSU does have the size to hopefully slow down Dettlinger. And I'm not sure really that SDSU has anybody. Maybe William Kyle, the freshman, can go up against Grant Nelson. But I'm not sure he can take him. And if he does, Andrew Morgan will have somebody a little weaker on him. So NDSU really needs to continue to take advantage of the inside matchups. If they can slow down Mayo, they'll be able to work the ball inside for somebody else from SDSU to beat him that isn't Mayo. And then I think NDSU can come out ahead in this one. Going to be a tough game. You'd use a big crowd there Thursday night. That'd be great. Students still on break, so up to everybody else to get out there that is in town and try to will the team to the win on this one. And then Saturday against USD, we got the same kind of situation with them. They did get their game at Kansas City played. They lost by 17, 62-45. They also had kind of a tough out of conference schedule, a little bit all over the place with them as well. Had a nice win versus BYU, but a couple of bad losses worked in there as well. So along with the rest of the Summit League, nobody really outside of ORU maybe, and even they had a couple of questionable ones, played particularly well out of conference. So we'll look more at the in-conference stuff. USD again, also same two teams as SDSU last week with the travel partners. They played St. Thomas Monday, or went Thursday and Western Friday Saturday, and got victories in both of those games, winning 92-84 and 80-63 over Western. Western stormed all the way back and almost got that one and then let it fall back apart at the end. St. Thomas as well, played them really tight down the stretch, but USD came away with both of them. Harold Hunt has been kind of their guy, but USD's been, you know, they got four solid guards there. They don't have a lot of size inside, and if they don't shoot it well, they don't play well. And so I'm thinking there will be a pretty huge focus in the game plan for NDSU to keep USD off the 3-point line. You know, they got AJ Plitzewhite back this year. He's been playing well. Paul Bruns, transferred down from UND, has been fairly solid for him. And then Perel Hunt and Archambault, who were there last year, you know, play pretty tough. Perel Hunt's had some big games already this season. So a lot of it will just come down to can NDSU defend the 3-point line, keep Damani Hayes off the boards. That guy's a hustler. And then NDSU should have a pretty solid size advantage in this one again. We'll see what USD's plan is to try and slow it down. But you, as is going to be most of the weeks, NDSU is going to have the advantage down low. So they just got to get the ball in there, work through the double teams if they come, shoot the ball well if zone gets thrown at them, and hopefully they can come away with a couple of W's here. As we've seen so far, road teams are 4-13 in the Summit League. Two of those wins came with Oral Roberts as double-digit favorites at Denver and I believe Kansas City, maybe. Nope, not Kansas City. Denver and Omaha. So it took double-digit favorites to get two of them. The rest of the league is only 2-13. NDSU having one of those at UND last week. So road wins have been tough to come by so far. So hopefully that home court advantage for NDSU works in our favor here later this week, and the men can get a couple of W's. So get out there and support them. With that, we'll turn the attention to the women's team. They opened same schedule as the men. If you're not familiar, the programs do play mirror schedules, which are the absolute worst. That's a topic for another day. But men's and women's play the same teams at the same time, just one at home and one on the road. So the women opened at home a week and a half ago Monday, well, 2 weeks ago now, Monday against Western Illinois. And really dominated this one from the get-go. It was a really, really solid performance after dropping four straight for the women. They got back to what they were doing well in the beginning of the season when they started 6-0, which was getting everybody involved, pushing the ball in transition, and you know, really locking down defensively in the half court. Jada Thorpe got really held in check well by NDSU's defense. Some of these top guards, you know, NDSU's been countering with Schulte and Elle Evans, who we'll talk to here in a little bit. But Schulte at, you know, 5'10", and Evans at 6'3", are some bigger guards, and the length really makes it difficult for some of these smaller guards that like to shoot the ball to get it over the top of them. And so they're having to rely on going off the dribble, and it seems to be really having an effect, as Thorpe only went 3-14. In this game, did score 15 points, but that was mostly thanks to 8-10 from the free throw line. So, in that opening game, Hamling 13, Evans 11, Brown 12, and then along down the line, Abby Draper chipped in 10. So, lots of players got involved. He saw significant minutes from 10 different players. Georgia Baldwin logged 17 minutes. She's really, in this first stretch here, started to put some significant minutes in. So nice to see her getting in the groove a little bit. She's struggled to kind of get in rhythm, coming off of a hand injury in the preseason. So nice to get her going in that one. Then the women welcomed St. Thomas. Again, a game that got moved due to weather, had a nice noon start time. So attendance was pretty spotty, as could be expected at noon on a Wednesday afternoon. But didn't thankfully fans didn't miss much, as NDSU just kind of cruised again in this one. They started out the first quarter 19-11, and then had a nice 37-23 lead at halftime, and just kind of kept the foot on the gas from there, winning 74-56. Again, more of the same. 10 players logging solid minutes. Everybody scoring that logged significant minutes. Hamling had a great game with 17 and 6. L. Evans again, double figures in scoring with 10 points. And Schulte had 8 points on 0 of 3 shooting, but 8 for 10 from the free throw line. So great performance there. To open the with 2 home wins over conference opponents was a great start. And then came the big matchup here just this last Saturday, New Year's Eve. UND came to town, also undefeated in conference play, sporting a 9-3 record overall in the season. They'd been very good, looking like a contender up at the top of the league, along with NDSU and the two South Dakota schools, and it was a battle. Great crowd turned out for the game, and it was fun. It was entertaining. It was an enjoyable game. Some really back and forth play between the two teams. NDSU had a solid first quarter. Had a little bit of a struggle at the end. For the last minute or two, didn't score, and then that bled into the second quarter, where they went about 4 minutes, almost half the quarter, before they scored. So UND outscored NDSU 26-16 in the second, and really was looking a little bleak for NDSU for a while, but they creeped back into it. Got it down to a 38-32 lead at halftime, so it's only 6 points, and then came out in the third quarter and played really, really well out of the gate. Outscored UND 28-17 in the third. Both teams with 21 points in the fourth to keep that 5-point margin that they had, and NDSU rolled to a W, winning 81-76. The stars were out in this one. Heaven Hamling scored 28. Barakovich from UND scored 27, but it took her 28 shots to get those 27 points, and most of them came in the second half as well. She really struggled to get it going early. Hoskin from UND had a really nice game. He had 12 points, 9 rebounds, but 6 of them on the offensive glass. NDSU really struggled to get a body on her. She's a little smaller guard forward, but really active around the glass, and had 6 offensive rebounds that led to points most of the time when she got those. So she was a bit of a pest. And then the freshman Hurst out of UND also had a decent game with 11 and 5. For NDSU, Heaven Hamling, 28 points. Great game. Even though she struggled from three, actually all of NDSU struggled from three in this one. She only shot 2 for 10 from there. The team 4 for 22. But Heaven had 14, went 14 for 15 from the free throw line. A lot of those coming down the stretch and really clutch moments. So big game, big clutch moment, big clutch shooting from her. Emily Behnke also vastly improved from the free throw line. I heard in the post game interview they worked a little bit on her form. She'd been shooting around 50% most of the season, and went 5 for 6 and sealed it with a couple of free throws at the end from her. Taylor Brown had a nice game with 15 points and 8 rebounds. Behnke with 13 and 9. L. Evans, not her best game in this one. She just was out there on the defensive end, struggled a little bit with foul trouble. Had a couple early, and didn't play much of the second quarter there when UND was rolling. So she finished with 7 points and 3 rebounds. Did have 6 turnovers though. So not her best performance. She'll certainly hope to turn that around. Yoko Omane had a really, really solid performance in there. She didn't make a basket, but she did go 6 for 6 from the free throw line. So 6 points and 5 rebounds for her as well in this one. So NDSU gets to 3-0 in conference play against, I would say, a few of the top contenders outside of the South Dakota schools. UND is going to be right up there. Western Illinois can be a tough team. And St. Thomas was solid, fairly solid last year, and was hoping to be a little bit improved this year, but they have started out 0-4. So this week, got the South Dakota schools on the road. We'll preview those here shortly. But right now we're going to jump into the interview with Elle Evans, and then we'll come back and preview the ladies' games and wrap it up afterwards. I'm now joined by the 6'3 freshman superstar guard in the making out of Edwardsville, Illinois, Elle Evans. Elle, thanks a ton for taking some time out of your day and joining me, and welcome to the podcast.
Thank you for having me. I'm excited
you bet.
To be here.
So you're the first freshman we've had on the podcast, so we really don't know a whole lot about you. So I just want to give you a minute. Just tell us a little bit about Elle, just about growing up, you know, Edwardsville's just outside of St. Louis, and just kind of what growing up there was like, and a little bit about the fam and kind of how everything was before you got to NDSU.
Yeah, so I grew up in Edwardsville, like you said. I've lived there my whole life. I am the youngest of three kids. My older sister, Paige, lives in California, and my older brother, Warner, lives in St. Louis, and he just got a job back there. So I'm the only athlete of the family that's lasted this far. So, but yeah, I went to Edwardsville High School. It's a very big kind of sports high school in my area. Went pretty far in most of my years in the basketball and the sectional, super sectional, stuff like that for my team. And then kind of for my recruiting process and getting to know, like getting my name out there and stuff, I played for Blue Star St. Louis, and that's kind of where I met Jory and the coaching staff, and now I'm here.
Awesome. So little, you know, just a little bit about non-basketball activities. What were you into as a kid growing up that wasn't basketball related? Do you have any outdoor activities or anything else that was you were big into?
I was a really big girl of playing outside. We had woods in our backyard, so I would always just like to go out there and just kind of like explore and like play in the dirt a little bit. But I also like to ride scooters and bikes and stuff like that with my brother. So just kind of stuff like that. But, you know, as I got older, I definitely kind of got into the more girly stuff. So I'd say I'm a big shopper now. That's my favorite hobby ever. I love shopping. So
I feel like every girl hits that age at some point. That's for sure.
Right.
So you mentioned your two siblings. You said you're the one to make it the furthest as far as athletics go. Did they play sports in high school as well, or were you the only one in the family, or
yeah,
did they
so
just
they
call
did,
it quits after high school?
Yeah, they did actually play in high school. My sister played basketball up until her junior year, and then she quit then. And my brother played football up until his sophomore year, and then he quit then. So.
No, I got to ask, just are you taller or shorter than your brother is?
I'm actually taller.
How does he take that? Do you poke some fun at him, or is he take it pretty good?
You know, he kind of denies it. He's like, you're standing on your tippy toes and all this. I'm like, no, I'm not. I'm barefoot and I'm still taller. But yeah, I don't really know how it worked out. I'm just taller than my whole family. So,
hey, whatever works, right?
Right.
So, that's always curious to me. So let's just talk a little bit about that being, I mean, you're 6'3 guard. So there's obviously a lot of women's basketball players that are 6'3, but not a lot of them get up and down the floor, handle the ball quite like you do. So what, you know, when you're young, starting playing basketball, most girls are roughly the same height. So did you gradually kind of grow to 6'3? Did you have 1 or 2 years where you had a huge growth spurt, or just kind of did that kind of take place in you for basketball?
Yeah, so growing up, I've always been like bigger than most of the girls, so I was always like kind of put into the post just because I was taller than everyone. But I would say probably between my 8th grade summer going into my freshman year, I kind of had a really big growth spurt where I grew a lot vertically, and starting then, I like was developing my shot more and more. So then, kind of my high school coaches were just kind of like playing me out of guard a little bit, and I was like a 3-4, just seeing like how I would fit in. And ever since then, I never really went back to post. I just continued to grow and be taller, and just continue to develop my guard skills. And I don't know, I just took the guard role and I just ran with it. So,
Nice, that's awesome. Did
yeah.
you when you had the growth spurt, I also had Grant on, and he talked about just coordination was a huge
Oh.
issue for a couple of years growing that fast. So did you struggle with some of those things as well when you were
Oh,
more
for
used to things
sure.
being one way?
Yeah, for sure. It was a really, I kind of hate to say it, but I just like looked so awkward for I'd say probably like a year and a half, almost 2 years. So really, like, I don't know, it just took a lot of time to grow into my body. And I'm just like thankful, 'cause like I didn't really grow into my body until probably like my senior year, my senior season. So obviously like a lot of coaches can kind of foresee the future and be like, okay, like she can, if she like keeps working, like she can probably, be a good athlete. And that's kind of good that Jorian then did that. So yeah.
Yeah, so let's talk a little bit about that recruiting process. You were one of the unlucky high school students who had a COVID season kind of right in the middle of your high school career. So recruiting was kind of all virtual at that point. Nobody's really on site or anything. Coming then your junior season in the summer is where things really picked up for you when coaches could get out and see you play. Obviously, by then you were up to your 6'2", 6'3". Like you said, it started to grow into your athleticism a little bit, and the offers came flying through the door. So just kind of what was that summer like for you, just from say the end of your kind of junior season and through the summer travel ball season, with all of that going on?
Yeah, I mean, that summer season is probably like the biggest summer of basketball recruiting. So, for it to kind of be like taken away in a sense because of COVID, it obviously like wasn't ideal. But for me personally, I still was able to be like luck of the draw and still able to get kind of my name out there and just looks because like of the different teams that we were playing. A lot of them had already, had offers or committed to like a bunch of different schools. So just kind of like the brackets and things that we were put into, I think helped me a lot. But I mean, yeah, just I don't really think COVID messed me up that much as compared to many other people in my class. But I mean, it was definitely tough, but I mean, it worked out. So I really want to change it, so.
That's good. We wouldn't change it either because it ended up with you here. But so I believe Loyola was the first one with an offer in May, and then NDSU in June, and then the rest of them kind of came July and later before you committed in October, I think you verbaled. So kind of what made you, after all those conversations and everything, what made you go back to and stick with NDSU that kind of jumped in the spring?
From my very first phone call with Dylan, I just loved it. I just could feel the vibe, and I just really liked how genuine they were. And then as I continued to get to know them, and then we like did a couple Zooms and did like virtual visits and stuff like that. And I mean, the relationships that I was just building with all the coaches at the time was just like kind of what I was looking for. And then after playing out the summer and then continuing with the process and just kind of how they handled it with me taking other visits and stuff like that, I could just tell like they were really like after me and they really wanted me, and that's kind of a place I wanted to go to. So I mean, I kind of knew from the start in a way, but I just wanted to explore my other options, and I'm glad I did because now I'm here.
Yes. So summer after your senior season, you finish basketball, graduate in the spring. within a month you're on campus, and then within 6 to 8 weeks you're in Europe, in Greece, playing some ball there and having practice, D1 practices. So what was that? I mean, how big of a whirlwind was that 2 to 3 month stretch right after high school as well?
It was so crazy, but it was so much fun. I mean, coming here in June, it was just like your life is just like you wake up, go to basketball, hang out with the girls, go to the pool sometimes, and you go to sleep and do it all over again. It was like unreal. And then after that, being here for a while, going to Greece, it was like an unreal experience. It's like indescribable for real. Like the relationships that we were able to make with the team while we were there, and just everything we were able to experience was unreal.
So I'm taking it that was your first trip to Europe, first time.
Yes,
And
first and hopefully not last.
for sure. So I've asked everybody because I'm a huge foodie and Greece is like top of my bucket list. So favorite thing you ate there. So I got to make sure I get everything on a list here as to what I got to track down while I was there, while I'm there.
I want to say we had some really good hummus and like pita bread at this one restaurant. I love hummus, so, and there are big olive people over there, so some
Absolutely.
olive hummus.
So you get back, we start the season, fire off six straight wins, and then drop four straight, kind of at the tail end of a ridiculously long road trip. You're a freshman, obviously haven't been on road trips like that previously. So just what was that experience like? And hopefully you don't have one that long again, because that's the longest one I can remember for a team probably ever. So just kind of what was that road trip experience like, being away from home that much and on the road and school and everything like that, being that you're a freshman in college?
It was definitely a learning experience, but I honestly didn't think it was that bad. Just because, I mean, they give us a lot of downtime, like when we're at the hotel, to be able to, do our homework or take a nap or like catch up on stuff like that. So, me personally, I didn't really think it affected me that much. But, I mean, being away from home for a month straight, not playing at home, is a very long time. So, I mean, hopefully we don't have a schedule like that next year.
Yeah.
But it was hard, but we got through it, and yeah, we did drop four, but we bounced back, and now we're 3-0 in conference, so.
Yeah, absolutely. So come back, get to play open conference play at home, which is huge. First three games at home, go 3-0. What seems to be clicking here just in the last 2 weeks that you kind of struggled with a little bit at the tail end of that road trip?
Yeah, I mean, the way we were playing in those four games, I mean, we know, and I think everyone knows that that's not who we are. That's not who we're made to be, and we can definitely do better than that. And we kind of took those games to heart and just kind of used those as extra motivation to start out conference on a good stretch and keep these ones rolling because it's really important. So
Yeah, so UND, huge win. They're a tough team this year. Looks like they'll be kind of in the top section of the standings this year. And now you got to hit the road for the first stretch of conf excuse me, for the first time in conference play, and it's against the South Dakota schools, who have perennially been at the top. SDSU started the season the top 25, kind of been hanging around there. So what are you most looking forward to getting out and testing? Where you guys are at against those two teams this week?
yeah, I mean, ever since I was being recruited and committed, it's always been the talk of South Dakota's of the Summit League. And, we're really ready this year to be up there with them. And we really think we're able to do that. And we're ready to, show everyone that we can do that. So that's probably what I'm most excited for, just to be able to go out and show people that we can run with them.
I agree. I think you guys are ready as well. So
Yes.
running out of time here, so I'm just gonna get through a few things. One, your first winter in North Dakota, you had one game canceled for it twice. How's winter treating you up north the rest of the way so far? Are you tolerating it all right?
Yeah, you know, it's really not that bad. They give us, you know, those big parkas, so I'll just wear that and double layer my pants and put some boots on, and it's really not that bad, honestly.
Well, that's good. Good to hear. So I got to bring up a couple of things. NDSU women's basketball had the get to know tweets earlier this year that they posted. One, talent juggling. You juggle. How did you decide you had that talent? Did you just get bored one day, or where did that come from?
You know, it actually started at basketball. I think it was my junior year. One of my teammates just had three basketballs and she was just like juggling them. And I was like, oh my gosh, like you need to show me how to do this. So then we kind of did it for a couple weeks. And then it's really easy when you start with basketballs. But yeah, she just kind of showed me how to do it. And then I just kind of kept doing it. And now I can, I'm not very good, but I can do it a little bit.
Nice. So the other one, it had your favorite hobby on there. It was Christmas decorating. So out of
Yes.
all the things you could do, you love your Christmas decor. Is that
Well, I don't really I don't really remember writing that, but I don't know how that. I mean, I do love Christmas, but I don't really remember writing Christmas decorating. But I will say I do love to do it, but I don't know if it's my favorite.
okay.
But
Yeah,
yeah.
we've got shopping now. Shopping's the new favorite hobby, right? Is that what
Yes.
we established?
Yes.
Okay, well, I got just a few rapid fire questions here, and we'll let you get out of here. Since we had the Christmas decorating thing, I know Christmas is over, but we're gonna stick with the Christmas theme that I had for these questions the last couple of weeks.
Okay.
So, number one, your go-to Christmas movie.
Oh my gosh. Polar Express.
Good choice. Favorite Christmas song?
I don't know. You know, I'm not really a big fan of Christmas music. I think it
Wow.
gets like overplayed.
That's very true. Very true. You hear Mariah Carey 72 times if you shop during Christmas season. So it's
Maybe
both
like
at the top of the list.
maybe something by like the Mannheim Steamrollers.
Oh, nice. Good call. Favorite Christmas baked good? What's something that you always had growing up that you looked forward to at Christmas time?
I love Christmas cookies. Like sugar cookies, my
Frosting and
favorite.
decorating, going
Yes.
all
Yes.
out. Colored lights or white lights?
White.
And real or fake tree? Did you do real or fake growing up?
Fake. Yeah.
Less of a mess, right? That's the way to
Right.
go.
Yeah. Less of a hassle for sure.
Absolutely. That it is. And I can leave mine up till, I think I had it up till like May last year. I just got too lazy to take it down.
Oh
But you don't have to worry about it if it's not dying in the living room, right?
my
All right. Well, I'll let you get out of here and get back to your day. Thanks again for taking some time, Elle, and best of luck down at SDSU and USD this week.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me.
You bet. Have a good day.
All right, you too. Bye.
All right, that was my interview with Elle Evans. Thank her for joining. She came right from practice, even had to reschedule because practice ran a little late. So definitely appreciate the time. We were running low on time, so I'll try to be quick here with the preview this week. Women's teams on the road at SDSU Thursday, at USD on Saturday. Big matchups. This is the teams, as Elle mentioned, that they're putting a team together to take down. It's been SDSU and USD for quite some time here in the Summit League, and we're not so patiently waiting for the day NDSU kind of climbs into that conversation. And this team this year can definitely do so. SDSU sits at 4-0 in conference play, 11-5 overall. They were in the top 25 at one point this season, but they have fallen out of that. What really hurt them is the couple of ranked teams that they did beat are no longer ranked. So they lost to Creighton, who was 21 at the time, beat Louisville, who was 10 at the time, who's no longer ranked, beat Kansas State, who was 24 at the time and no longer ranked. But lost, they did play number one, so South Carolina at the Pentagon in Sioux Falls. Played them tough, 62-44 against the number one team in the country. Good, tough battle. That was the only loss in their last eight games here, as they're on a 7-1 run. and started the conference play 4-0. They have not been as dominant as they have been in years past in some of these games. Only won by 3 over Oral Roberts at home. Beat Kansas City fairly handily, 86-54. Beat Western Illinois 85-63, and then beat St. Thomas 61-51 in what was a little bit of a closer game as well for them last week. So NDSU has them first up on Thursday at 7 o'clock down in Frost. Marquee matchup. It's one NDSU is going to hope to go down and steal. Road wins are tough to get in the league, but hopefully we'll look for a good competitive matchup in that one. Then after that game, they will go on the road against USD on Saturday at 2, or at 1 o'clock, I guess that game is, sorry. And they will play the USD Coyotes, who have been the second best team in the conference for quite some time, and or best team in the conference. But did have a coaching change, obviously had some of their best players graduate, and so they are not the same team that they have been. We're really started the season off 4-1, looked pretty decent, but then dropped 6 straight games to some teams that they would not have lost to in the past, and so they were not looking particularly good as we were heading into the conference season. And then they get home to open the conference season and they flipped a switch right back on and have started 3-1 in conference play. So they also beat Kansas City and Oral Roberts at home. You know, SDSU only beat Oral Roberts by 3. USD beat them 101-57. So there's obviously a lot of parity going on even between the matchups and teams. Had a really tough, close battle game. St. Thomas, I think, let one slip away on their home court. USD did beat them 58-56. And then USD did go to Western Illinois and did not come out of there with a win. Western Illinois got their first conference win of the season, winning 76-67. So again, another game NDSU will look to win and get a leg up in the early season standings in conference on the road at USD. They kind of go as Grace Larkins goes. So L. Evans probably will be the one on her looking to shut her down, possibly the Abby Schulte. But they will have a plan for sure to try and slow her down and make somebody else from USD beat them. So a couple of big games for both the men and the women. It's a rivalry games against South Dakota schools. They're always big. Men at home, women on the road. And join me back here next week and we'll recap those games and look forward to the week after and have some more player interviews. So thanks for taking some time to listen to the Thunder and Herd Hoops podcast, and we will see you next week.